not that far away from this year's Formula One Grand Prix at Albert Park. And Jeff Harris is on the line, of course, the regular with KB talking the Formula One circuit. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, Kev.
How you going?
Good, thanks.
Good to hear. I wanted to talk to you. When last we spoke, we didn't have enough time to go into it, but I wanted to talk to you, and I know you wanted to talk about the amount of young Aussies coming up through the ranks in all different forms of motorsport around the world who we might see as potential Formula One drivers, or certainly drivers that we'll know a lot about in the future. Take us through some of these young blokes coming up through the ranks.
Yes, Kevin, probably the main one is a guy from Sydney, Joey Mawson. He's only about 20, but last year, 2016, he beat Michael Schumacher's son in the German Formula 4 Championship.
Right.
So that's certainly gained him some recognition in Europe. I know he's got some good support from back here financially to keep going in Europe. So he's probably the best of the prospects. At the moment, I think he'll go into the European Formula 3 Championship this year, I'd expect. Certainly, Michael Schumacher's son is going to be in that as well, I think.
Jeff, yes. what is money the biggest need for these young blokes coming through? You know, you come across the Westgate Bridge and on the left-hand side, there's the go-kart track and you see them going around there a million miles an hour. To go from that to get into the circuit, I guess, and you have to go to Europe to do it, is financial backing the major thing they need?
Look, they do, Kevin. That's one of the unfortunate things about this sport, that they do need basically, whether it be a million English pounds, euros, American dollars or whatever, that much or more to do a season in a serious junior formula, open wheeler formula in Europe. And so that is obviously one of the big hurdles for guys to jump. And some people go to enormous lengths to get those funds together. But, you've got thousands and thousands of young boys around the country, around the world wanting, dreaming of getting to Formula One. And obviously, they're not all going to get there. In fact, very few are going to get there because there are only 22 seats. Maybe, maybe even by the time the Melbourne race comes around at the end of March, it'll only be 20 seats because there's a team in some jeopardy of falling over. And so you can spend a lot of money and it's no guarantee that you're going to get there. But I have heard that this young Joey Mawson, and good luck to him, has got a lot of support from back here, which will certainly do him well in something like Formula 3 and maybe, for a couple of years ahead. But eventually, he'll be assessed on his talent because he won't be able to bring the mega dollars that some of these drivers like the guy Maldonado from Venezuela a couple of years ago, he could have been bringing perhaps $50 million to the Williams team there a few years ago. Now, because of some particular problems in Venezuela, he's not there at the minute because, there's corruption and all kinds of things, politics and whatnot, that kind of nobbled that. But they're the kind of obstacles that you get up against as you get closer towards Formula One.
So where do the majority of the Formula One drivers come out of?
Well, go-karting.
Yep.
That is where they start. Just about every driver in Formula One has been a go-karter. I think perhaps probably the last one who wasn't really was Damon Hill, who won a world championship and obviously was a pretty good driver to win a world championship, although I think it could be said that he wasn't that good at racing in close company, and that's perhaps because he hadn't come from go-karting.
Yeah.
If you come from go-karting, you step up to, well, traditionally Formula Ford. There is now this big emphasis around the world on a thing called Formula 4. Then you would look to go towards Formula 3. It's quite possible that you could jump from Formula 3 directly to Formula 1, or you may go for a year between Formula 3 and Formula 1 to a category called Formula Renault 3.5. Now, there are various Formula Renault categories in Europe.
Now, Jeff, the dumb kid in the room's got his hand up saying, what's the difference between all these Formula things? What's the difference between
Engine sizes, and when you're back down at Formula Ford, which is, say, when you're coming out of go-karts, you don't have aerodynamic wings, and you don't have slick tyres.
Okay.
So you have basically road tyres, and you don't have the advantage of wings which make your car grip the road, you know, much better.
Would it be fair to say that each of those formulas, as you go up the rung, is more expensive? To we're talking about you go from 1 mil to 2 mil to 3 mil to 150 mil.
Well, yes. The numbers might need a bit of a massage.
Yes,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
In general terms, yes, because you know, when you get up to Formula One, you hear talk of the hundreds of millions of dollars that that the teams are spending, and you know, from the outside, you wonder where on earth could all that money be going? Because all the fan really sees, if they go to the track, is the cars on the track. They may see the crews in the garage. And you can't, and you think, where? How could they be spending $400 million? But when you, if you're lucky enough to get to ever go and see one of the Formula One factories, you start to understand where the money goes.
Because
the big teams, despite some efforts to curb the costs over the years, some of the big teams might have getting up towards 1,000 people working for them.
Jeez.
So that, depending on whether you're using your own engine or getting the engine from outside, that's basically... one of the big determinants there, because like Ferrari do the whole thing themselves, but some of the teams build the chassis and then buy the engine from Mercedes or whatever. So they just get the engine packaged up. Maybe Mercedes assign some engineers to work with the team on those engines, but basically that kind of takes that cost is apportioned to the engine manufacturer rather than the team.
So Joey Mawson's the only one at the moment that you would see that might come through in the next couple of years? Or there...
he's the front runner, Kevin.
Yep.
There's a boy from Kalgoorlie, of all places, who won a championship in America last year, the US Formula 2000 championship, which, going back many years, Jason Bright, who has been around for a long time, he's a veteran now in V8 Supercars, he was a runner-up in that many years ago, and I think there may have been another Australian in there somewhere, and certainly young Matthew Brabham, Sir Jack Brabham's grandson, came through there a couple of years ago too.
Okay.
But this boy, Anthony Martin, he did very well. Beat a couple of other Australians. I think there were three Australians in the top five in that series in America last year. But that's not going to take them to Formula One,
right?
That route. You're not going to get to Formula One through America these days. And there are a couple of other young chaps, including a young boy from Melbourne who has raced for a year in Britain, Louis Leeds. He's only still, I think, 16. From this weekend, he'll be racing for 5 weeks in New Zealand, where there's a very good open-wheeler series through over the next 5 weeks. And he's already in the Red Bull Junior program. So Red Bull have taken a liking to him in the same way as they did with Daniel Ricciardo.
Okay.
Bearing in mind that they have a few of these guys at any one time, maybe half a dozen these days. So he's a prospect. He's had 1 year in Europe. He did a few races the previous year, even around the world. If he were to have a good year this year and keep going, he's obviously a prospect, and it would be terrific for Melbourne to produce a driver like this, because we had... You know, Mark Webber came from Queanbeyan, Daniel Ricciardo from Perth. It was Ryan Briscoe for a while. He was on the fringe, came from Sydney. But what would be terrific would be to turn up one from Melbourne.
Yeah.
And certainly in that context, Louis Leeds looks as though he's the guy. There's been another young chap, Thomas Randall, racing in similar kind of categories to Leeds. But it looks to me as though he might be going more the sports car route from now on.
We've only got two.
So there are a few prospects there.
Yeah, it's good. We only got about 5 or 6 weeks to go till the Melbourne Grand Prix. How's it shaping up at this stage?
Well, there are some safety changes I've noted that are needing to be made there to the track, because of what we talked about last week, Kevin, about the cars under the new rules this year are going to be faster.
Yep.
And so the FIA have estimated that... in some corners, the speeds will be between 20 and 50 k's higher. So they're going to need to be effectively bulking up the safety barriers at least four corners to be able to accommodate that increase in speed.
Okay.
And also, I've noted in recent weeks, there's an American TV group, Liberty, which are trying to buy control of Formula One. And they have indicated that they want every Grand Prix around the world to be like the equivalent of the American Super Bowl in terms of the entertainment extravaganza.
Oh, right, okay. So Barnsley out in the back paddock is not going to cut it anymore.
Well, there's all that kind of thing, but I think the worry that comes with it, Kevin, is the expense.
Yeah.
And who's got to pay for all this? And I would think that Liberty and the Formula One community, their idea would be that Melbourne pay for it. And, of course, that's going to make it even more expensive than it has been because, as is fairly well known now, you know, the racing has been dropping $60 million a year for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know whether this year this Super Bowl idea is going to be, there's perhaps not time to do too much in that direction for this year, but longer term, if that's what they want, maybe that's what they get. But the question, as I say, is, who forks out for that?
Yeah, the purists will say don't stuff up the race and the entertainment that we actually get from the racing to bring, to put a Janet Jackson or whatever you want to put on in the corner paddock as your entertainment. Don't have that take away from what we actually go there to watch, which is the races.
Yes, well, and this always comes back to the question of, you get times in Formula One, you get some races that are painfully boring.
Yeah.
You get some rippers, crackers. I must say that the real cracker races tend to be at particular circuits overseas. And while we've certainly had some good moments, great moments even in Melbourne, over 20-odd years now, don't know that we've had a succession of great races.
So, I can understand from a television point of view, if you've got a boring NFL game and a boring Grand Prix race, if at halftime you can throw on this massive entertainment spectacular, obviously that will keep people watching. But
But Kevin, there's no halftime in a Grand Prix.
Yeah, I know. not at the moment there isn't, Jeff, but if TV gets its way, there might be.
Well, Flavio Briatore, a rather shady character who was involved in Formula One for a long time and got banned, and I think the ban may have been overturned now, but he was actually a great marketer, and he did have the idea that Grand Prix should be split into two. And I think it might have been that you have an hour on Saturday and an hour on Sunday. Now, that might actually work a bit better with this idea.
Okay, two races, yeah.
Yeah, but as I say, as things stand, there's no half-time. And really, what the international viewing audience get is the cars on the grid ready to race. The lights go out. They race for nearly 2 hours. The checkered flags wave. They have the podium presentation, and they cut out. So where does the entertainment get to be in the television deal there? So, in terms of getting to the viewers. So,
Watch this space, I think, might be what we need to put in there, Jeff.
Indeed.
Good to catch up, as always. Thank you for your time. I know you'll be on with KB in the coming weeks. Thanks for your time today.
Okay, thanks very much.
Jeff Harris joining us there, talking Formula One, the Grand Prix, of course, in Melbourne, 23rd, 26th of March.